Exodus 14, verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day. That's our text. Thus the Lord saved Israel. I like that little word, thus. Don't you? We don't use it much today, do we? But it just sums everything up. Like I've mentioned before, like Walter Cronkite. Jacob, you don't remember him. Your daddy probably watched him. My daddy did. We only got two channels up at Holler's. So. Anyway, Cronkite, Walter would always end his evening weekly news broadcast by saying, and that's the way it is on March 31st, 2024. Thus, the Lord saved Israel. That's the way it is. I like that word, don't you? The Lord saved Israel. Thus, this way. This is how it happened. This is how salvation always happens. It's the Lord's doing. If the Lord doesn't save me, I'll never be saved. This is God's work. It's not a combination of God's will and man's will and all this other foolishness you hear. No. The Lord saves His people. Does He not? Look again, if you will. Let's look at verse 28. So we'll perhaps better appreciate what we have already read. But verse 28, and the waters returned, of course speaking of the Red Sea, and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all, A-double-L, all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thank God for those blessed buts. Verse 28, what we just read, it reminds me of what God said, what we read in Scripture. It's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. People today think God is whatever they imagine Him to be. Unless you live in a cave or have your head buried in the sand, today especially, but it's not just confined to today, it's everyday. People, some of your children, mine, grandchildren, your neighbors, they think, and they're adamant about it. They're dogmatic about it. They think God is whatever they want Him to be. That's exactly right, ain't it? I experienced it all last week when I visited my family. I heard this, I heard that, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know who you're talking about. A God that tries? A God that just requires a decision? Walking up the aisle and repeating the sinner's prayer? Jesus Christ didn't have to die if that's all it takes. No. People imagine that God is whatever they want Him to be. That's what my article that I hope you keep and you read and maybe even pass out to someone. You thought, God said, this was His indictment, this was His charge to Israel. You thought that I was just like you. It's not so. And I'm going to prove to you that it's not so. You made a fatal, fatal error. But that's most people, and I imagine it'd be a safe bet that you are thinking of lots of people, children, neighbors, relations, just about most of the people you come in contact with think that God is whatever they imagine Him to be. And God says, I'm going to prove that you're wrong. Prove that you're wrong. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Old Martin Luther, the great reformer, he said this, I want nothing to do. Now listen to this. Are you listening? Please listen. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Martin Luther said, I want nothing to do with God outside of Christ. I want nothing to do with God outside of Christ. Because Christ is the mediator between me and God. Without Christ, I don't have a mediator. I don't have an advocate. I'm going to stand before God Almighty, a just and holy God, not a God that I'll imagine what He should be to make me comfortable, but God as He really is. Now you think about that. You think about squaring off before God Almighty that Jesus Christ said many, many in that day shall do, and think right up until they hear it from His own mouth, I don't know you. They'll stand before Him right up to the judgment when all mankind is ushered before His august white throne of justice. Lord, You know us. We prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did many mighty works in Your name. I cannot begin to imagine, much less try to convey to you, the horror that must grip the hearts of those people when they think He's going to just come on in. We got a crown for you. We're going to put your mansion next to Mama's. And He says, depart from Me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Now you read Matthew 7. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said it will be in that day. I never knew you. And you know, He went on in the parable to describe the fatal mistake that those people made. They didn't build on the rock. That's what the parable illustrates. He said, this is how this happened. This is why this will happen in that day. People expect the inner glory, and I'm going to cast them into outer darkness, into hell forever. It's because they weren't on the foundation. They didn't build their house on the foundation. They built it on sand. Their own works, their own righteousness, their own religion, everything and anything but the one rock of salvation that Jesus Christ is, that God has laid. If I'm not on Him, it doesn't make a lick of difference. If I'm a 5-point Calvinist or a raving rank Arminian, what difference does it make if I'm not built on Him? Is that right? Is that right? Martin Luther said, I want nothing to do with God outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, how much more should I appreciate Him as my advocate with the Father? I'm not going to answer for myself. There was an old black man. This just now comes to mind. I read it last night, I think. John Jasper. And it may have been in slave times. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. But somebody asked me, John Jasper, when you get to heaven, what's going to give you the right? What makes you think you've got the right to enter heaven? John Jasper, you're not allowed in most places here on earth. Black's not allowed. Keep out. Can't even sit next to a lot of people. So John Jasper, if that's all the rights you have here, what makes you think you're going to have the right to enter heaven? He said, I'll tell you why. I won't be there on my rights. I'll be there on the rights of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He'll answer. John Jasper ain't going to answer for himself. Jesus Christ is going to answer for me. Oh, my soul. Aren't you thankful that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous? Look again at verse 9 of chapter 15 here in Exodus. The enemy said, I will. Pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That's pretty bold talk, isn't it? One of my favorite movies is True Grit, the original one with old John Wayne. Remember when they're in that valley and he's got three or four across the field facing him and he's all by himself? And they exchange a few bold claims, and Sheriff, what was his name? It doesn't matter. Wayne Clayton. But he said, feel your hand. He said, I'm going to either take you in alive, or you'll be hanged at the judge's convenience, or I'll just kill you right here. So what do you say? One of them said, I say that's pretty bold talk for a one-eyed fat man. That's pretty bold talk. Pharaoh made, wasn't it? Pretty bold talk for a weak, fleshly man, leaning on the arm of flesh. The Word of God declares this. What they claimed is not so. Again, in chapter 15, in this song of praise, after Israel is brought through the Red Sea, who gets the credit for doing it? Thus the Lord saved Israel. In this song of praise, after Israel is brought through, who gets the credit for it? Who's the song about? Oh, praise you, Moses. We honor you, Moses. We give you credit, Moses. We'd have never got here without you. We'd have never made it without you. Oh, Moses, let's sing a song to you. Or your brother Aaron. Or one of... whoever. No. There's not one word in this song about what they did. It's a song about what God did. I mean, that just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? We give all the glory to the one from whom we received all the grace. Is that not so? Is that not what the book teaches? Who gets the credit? I already mentioned in the reading God's response to those bold claims by Pharaoh and his big army. God just blew and they sunk as a stone. Now look at them as they sink to the bottom. Look at the children of Israel as they pass over into the other side. And then they stand and look back on Pharaoh and his armies floating around, washing up on the shore. All those spears, all those weapons, I imagine they gathered them up. But then, with that in mind, with that picture in your mind, what do you think about man's will now? What about man's will now? Well, that just illustrates, confirms what the Word of God says everywhere. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that willeth. It wasn't of Robin Chris that willed. That didn't get it done. Or Billy. Or anybody else. Or Larry. Jacob. Thank God it's only grace that you're not an Esau, Jacob. Bobby Butner. Delilah Leedlow. It wasn't your will. It's not of him or her that willeth. It's of God that showeth mercy. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Whose will prevailed here? Who had their way? Are you thinking what I'm thinking of? Preachers everywhere. All my life I heard. If God had his way, if you just give God a chance. I mean, I was pretty much dumb as a rock, but I thought to myself, what do I need a God for that needs my help? If he needs my help, he's in as much trouble as I am. No. Salvation is of the Lord. Child of God, aren't you glad it is? Amen. Nod your head something. Aren't you glad it is? Salvation is of the Lord. God always triumphs. God's never been defeated. What did they sing? The Lord hath prevailed. Well, if he's the Lord, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he prevail? Isn't that comforting? Why should the heathen say in Psalm 115, David said, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Well, he's trying to have his way. He's trying to prevail. Oh, no. David says to their taunts and their jeers and their mocking, where's your God now, David? I mean, Saul's trying to kill you. Your own son Absalom tried to take over the throne. You're hiding out like a hermit. Where was your God now, David? You know what David said. You know what his answer was? My God is in the heavens. Our God is in the heavens, Billy. He's done whatsoever he had pleased. Another story just comes to mind about Martin Luther, the great reformer. He got so down in the dumps on one occasion, so depressed. I mean, he was so low, as the old saying goes, he could sit on a penny and swing his legs. He was ready to throw in the towel. We don't think too much about that great reformer, does it? But left to himself, that's what he... The Pope sending out his hitmen to kill him. So, but he got into a state of depression. One day he came home, tail dragging between his legs, moping around. And his wife met him, all dressed in black. I mean, dressed in black. Like she's going to a funeral. He looked at her and said, I don't recall her name, but he said, who died? Who died? Why are you dressed like that? Why are you mourning? And she said, because God died. God died. Luther said, what are you talking about? God died. God lives forever. And she said, well, then why don't you act like it? I'll quit mourning when you quit mourning. He snapped out of it. Oh, thank God. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Oh, he sounds like the God I need. I think it was Spurgeon said, I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. Is that not so? But the children of Israel walked upon dry land. Thank God for those buts. Last Sunday, the 24th, we were at my mother's house. And I think I mentioned to you before, Tom Harding has a website exclusively featuring Henry's messages, especially his television broadcast, which only lasts 27 or 28 minutes. I gave that link to several folks while I was there. But Sunday morning, I said, Mom, why don't we sit down here and watch Brother Henry? And I think he preached this message in 1993. As a matter of fact, it was on Valentine's Day, February 14th. That's the day my daddy was born. Pat went to glory. So there was Robin and myself, and there's Mom, 95 years old. So I put my iPhone down. She doesn't have YouTube, and that's internet. But put it right there on the coffee table, and we print Henry preach from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He just went verse by verse. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could preach like that. I thought I knew that Psalm pretty well. Well, Henry preached up. He pointing out stuff that I had never thought of. But that's just the evidence of God's Word. It's eternal. It's timeless. It never wears out. He can bless, give you a thought. You may have read a verse all your life, and God will open up a new line, a new thought, and you say, my soul. Oh, what a God. What a Word. But anyway, the message was the believer's comfort. The believer's comfort. And Henry, in the midst of his message, told a story about, they may have been in his church, because he was at that church, what was it, Bobby, 50-some years? But a man and a woman came to him and in his home or in his office, but they were together, they were in private, Henry and this couple, man and his wife, and they were just distraught. They were just tore up, I mean, just weeping. Henry said, what's the matter? They said, oh, Brother Henry, We don't know what we're going to do. Our daughter is pregnant, and she's not married. She was brought up in a church, but and they were just tore up. Of course they would be. They were believers, and I'm sure there was some selfishness involved in that. What will people think? We're so ashamed, you know. And Henry listened to him a while, and he got up, put his arm around one and the other, and said, listen to me. Listen to me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Henry said it was probably a year and a half after that he saw him. And they were holding this beautiful little baby girl, grandma in her arm, and they were just beaming with delight. And Henry said, remember what I told you? It's going to be all right. Bobby, it's going to be all right. God took your dear, dear husband, but it's going to be all right. Delilah, he took your parents. I'd have loved to have known them. They might not have liked to know me, but I would have loved to have known. I wish I could find some tapes of your daddy preaching. But it's going to be all right. Larry Chris, Jesus Christ says, it's going to be all right. It won't be easy, but it's going to be all right. Storms are going to rise. They're going to rock your boat. You think you're going down, but it's going to be all right. You fill in the blank. Whatever you're going through, the King of Kings says, it's going to be all right. But, verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon the dry land. It's going to be all right. Brother Frank Tate has a great article. A roller coaster ride. My friend told me that the believer always comes back to the start. His life is up and down like a coaster. But no matter, Brother Frank wrote, no matter how many twists and turns and ups and downs we go through, the believer always keeps coming back to Christ. And it's going to be all right. Let's consider now how many times we read in that. We're not going to consider each time, but for example, verse 29 of chapter 14. But, unlike the Egyptian, but the children of Israel walked up on dry land. But, you were children of wrath, just like everybody else. You walked your entire life. That doesn't mean taking steps with your feet. That just means the way you live. The way you lived in this world. You were no different than anybody else. You were by nature, you had the same nature as the vilest sinner. You were children of wrath by nature, just like everybody else. And we all had our conversation. Our hearts were in the world. Is it not so? Can any believer deny this? Our hearts were in the world. Our affections were set on this world. Get all you can get because you only go around once. That dear deluded man that's in the lady that Robin sets with, Miss Audra. She's got a son. I just met him briefly, but from what Robin tells me, oh, he's a bitter, bitter man. Just bitter. And he can barely walk. We were gone. Robin got a call. He had fallen. He can barely get around. And he's bitter as it can be. You know what he tells Robin all the time? Just waiting for the judgment day. Just waiting for the judgment day. Cusses and says, I'm just waiting for the judgment day. No fear of God before his eyes. He may leave this world before his old mother. Who made us to differ? We all had our conversation. This is Ephesians 2 and 3. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's all we lived for. That's all we thought about. Get great. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others, among whom we all, no exception. Well, then, why aren't we now? What happened? What happened? We're not like that lady that told Brother Henry she'd been a Christian all her life. And Henry said, lady, that's too long. That's too long. What made the difference? But God. But God. Thus the Lord saved Israel. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But God, even when we were dead in sins. Now, how's a dead man going to take the first step? Lazarus, if you'll take the first step, I'll take the rest. No, we were dead in trespasses and sins. He has quickened us together with Christ. He's a risen Savior, quickens us, gives us life, so that we may arise and follow him in newness of life. This is, I'm pretty sure this is one of Don's hymns. Listen to it. It says, my soul in darkness, death, and sin was lost and all undone. I did not know my lost estate. I could not see God's Son. And I didn't want to see. But God, Billy Cobb. But God in grace and power divine stepped in to save my soul. His gracious purpose has prevailed, and he had made me whole. But God, what blessed words of grace. He broke my stubborn will. Throughout the great eternal age, I'll chant his praises still. Thank God for his distinguishing grace. Thus the Lord saved Israel. That was our text, wasn't it? Thus the Lord saved Israel. Again, your bulletin. I made a note here of the quote in your bulletin. I like this. Old Thomas Watson, I believe he was one of the old Puritans. He said, God's decree is the very pillar and basis on which the saints' perseverance depends. If what God has promised he's not able to perform, let's just sell this place. See how much we can get out of it and just wait to die. You know, if it's dependent upon anything but God's decree, God's good pleasure, God's purpose, God's decree is the very pillar. And this pillar is a soft pillow to lay our heads on, isn't it? On which the saints' perseverance depends. It's not dependent upon them, it's dependent upon God. That decree ties the knot of adoption so fast. When Robin and I 7 years ago stood here, and Brother Paul Mahan performed the ceremony, uniting us together as one. And I've done quite a few myself, but said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I made that promise that I would cherish her and love her until I died. That was my promise. And only by God's grace will I do it. I meant it when I said it, and I mean it now. But it's the fulfillment of that doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. When God decrees something, he ties the knot so tight, nobody can untie it. That decree, Watson wrote, ties the knot of adoption so fast that neither sin, death, nor hell can break it asunder. When God the Father presented his chosen to Jesus Christ, asking him in that everlasting covenant of grace, Son, will you take these? Will you take this? Will you take these as your bride? Just like God presented Eve to Adam, he gave his church into the hands and responsibility of Jesus Christ. Son, will you do this? And of course, knowing everything that would be involved if he agreed to it. I mean, God never had a new thought. But in that everlasting covenant of grace, the Father committed into the Son's hands, just as he did Eve when he brought Eve to Adam. God gave his church to Christ, his bride, and they failed. Fallen, just like Eve did, just like she did. But she was still Adam's wife, wasn't she? We failed. In Adam, all died, but God, Jesus Christ, made a promise, a vow, a commitment in that covenant of grace to God, his Father, and said, I will do everything, everything. I will, in the fullness of time when you send me, I will go into this world, I'll become their brethren, flesh and blood, and I'll become like them, so that I can be a merciful and faithful high priest. I can identify with them if I become like them, accepting sin. And Father also promised, not only will I fulfill every jot and tittle of your holy law in my life, I will go to that cross and suffer your vengeance, your justice. I will be forsaken by you so that my bride will never be forsaken. That's what we want to remember. And Father, I promise you, you commit them into my hands. You trust them to me. And I'll do everything you require. I'll fulfill everything they haven't. I'll live for them. I'll die for them. I'll suffer for them. I'll bleed for them. I'll be forsaken of them. I'll be made sin for them. And then, Father, when times will be no more, I'm going to bring my redeemed bride back to you. Isn't that what Paul says in Ephesians 5? And I'm going to present them back to you. Every one that you gave me, I lost none. And here they are, Father, without a spot, without a blemish. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might present it to himself without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day. Let me wrap this up. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, Hebrews 9 and 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Revelation 5 and 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thine own blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Grace does not proclaim a redemption that is offered or a pardon, but an effectual redemption that demands pardon. Jesus Christ being our substitute, justice is an argument not against us, but for us. It would be wrong for God not to save his people, not to bring them to glory, because Jesus Christ satisfied justice. His wrath fell on his son. It cannot fall on us. It cannot fall on us. There is no condemnation to those who are in the church, those who know 5 points. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Thou shalt bring them in. That's what we read in Exodus 15, verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord. Notice in capital letters. Which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands had made. Ephesians 1 and 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, Christ, might gather together in one, or God rather, that he, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So all Israel shall be saved. God's true Israel. And in that day, we'll stand before him, redeemed. It doth not yet appear where we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thus the Lord saved Israel. And thus the Lord, when we do this in a minute, thus the Lord saved Larry Chris. Now you tell me how thankful I should be. How grateful I should be. How in love with Christ I should be. Is it Ephesians 4, I believe? Beloved, love one another. Forgive one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Huh? Loving one another. Forgiving one another. Oh, God, teach me that. All Israel shall be saved. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. It's going to be all right. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.